Gluten Panera, meine Wolfpartingerin. It's 1930 UTC, and it's time for another exciting episode of the Dubious Goals Committee. I am lurking about in the forest, as usual. Got my camera ready, and I am walking around in a known marmot area, but I'm not seeing any Matis today yet. Perhaps we will run into some Matis later. Okay, so what am I doing today? Well, I get to go out to eat shortly after you hear this, and I'm excited about that, because I'm going to get me some protein. And if I don't get protein, then I'm going to get pizza. And I love pizza. I love Frank's pizza. Frank's is the best. Few, if any, come close. All right, I don't see any Matis around here. Where my Matis are. Alright, so I better switch glasses. Got my sunglasses on. Oh, who's that bird up there? Oh, it's a mourning dove. Hello, mourning dove. These are the birds that like to sit on top of my chimney and go glue, 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 glue down into the chimney so I can hear it in my living room, and it drives my cat crazy. She'll run up to the fireplace. What's that sound? And she wants to go up into the fireplace and gets those birdies. And I tell her they're actually outside, but she doesn't believe me. Well, what's new? Well, it's been about 1 week now. 1 week now since the event that changes my life every once in a while. The event that pisses me off and makes me so angry and just makes me hate everyone. And it all started last week. Maybe you can guess what happened last week that pisses me off so much. That's right. You got it. I know you're thinking of the correct answer, which is hearing Christmas music. Yeah. Started hearing Christmas music at about last week this time. It has now been, 6 or 7 days, I don't know. And I'm already sick of it. Already absolutely sick of freaking Christmas music. And we're still, 8 weeks out? The truth of the matter is, I actually first heard some Christmas music before Halloween. And I thought that was pretty pathetic. But I let it go. So here I am, walking around in the forest, looking for stuff. Looking for dudes and looking for mushrooms and looking for any semblance of sanity. I gotta maintain. I got 2 months to go. 2 months of this crap to put up with. And to make matters worse, it is eventually going to get cold enough that I'm not going to be able to go outside. It's the going outside that helps me maintain my sanity. Going outside and walking around in the forest, spending time in the woods, helps me to not go postal and kill all the fools. So be thankful. Be thankful that I do this. Also be thankful that you don't live within, 100 miles of me. I think the closest SDFer that we know of is down in Kansas City. And Kansas City, Missouri is about, 180 miles away, give or take. Jeez, it's a lovely day. It's clear. It's sunny. Only some slight wind gusts every once in a while, up to about, I don't know, that's not 8 knots. So, call it almost 10 miles an hour. Do-do-do-do-do, wandering around. This is fun for me. It's about 60 degrees Fahrenheit. About 15 or 16 degrees Celsius. And I woke up cold again this morning, which was weird, but I still haven't turned my heat on. I didn't think I was going to be cold last night, but it was weird. I think I ate too early, and so all my fuel ran out, and so I was cold around midnight. I really should eat more. I really should go out and do this more, but man, you can't go out walking around in the forest at midnight. It's not that you can't, it's just that if anybody sees you do this, they're calling the cops. I don't know why, I don't know what has happened to humanity where being outdoors is the non-natural condition. Oh, but yeah, I'm kind of not looking forward to winter. I'm not looking forward to being stuck in my house for months on end, doing nothing. I'll probably go extra crazy. Yeah. So I'm gonna have to find something to do over the winter. And I keep thinking to myself, well, maybe I should join a club. The weird thing is, I'm not much of a joiner. But I was thinking, what I need to do is I need to get involved with like a gaming club or something. And then that way I have something to do. And then I thought, well, who the heck am I going to get to be in a gaming club? Or what gaming club am I possibly going to be able to join? I keep hearing sounds. Where is that sound coming from? Oh, it's just a bird. Lots of little birdies flying around, kicking up leaves, making noises that sounds like other dudes. This is going to sound strange. One club that I have considered joining is a bridge club. And I don't even need to join a club. There is actually a bridge studio in town. And, I don't even want to think about what it costs. Or the fact that it's far enough away that it'll cost me $1 to drive there. And I don't even play bridge. I play some games that are similar enough to bridge that, I don't know, I have a mild interest in the game. There's some things that I don't like about bridge. Like all the fake, you can't communicate with your partner, but you can say these code messages. Well, no, just because it's in code doesn't mean it's not communication. I'd rather play a straight-up game. I like to play a dominoes game called 42, sometimes called Texas 42, especially if you live in Texas. I'm not very good at it, and I would like to get better, but nobody plays around here, so I can't, you know, find the old guys. You know, if you want to learn how to do something, find a bunch of old guys doing it and just hang out with them for a while. And since I don't have anybody to play dominoes with, you know, normally I just do this online. But, oh, maybe I could join the bridge club. Play some bridge. It's essentially the same game, except with cards. And blah, blah, blah. Could hang out with a bunch of old people. Drink tea. And that might be something to do. If it weren't for the expense. Man, oh man. So now I gotta join a club, I gotta pay dues, I gotta drive. The only good thing about joining a bridge club is I wouldn't have to buy any cards. Because I have an outrageous number of decks of cards. Until, of course, I realized, yes, but almost every single one of those decks of cards is a poker size deck of cards and not a bridge size. Not that it matters. Although, strangely enough, I do have some bridge size cards. And they are from my childhood. When I was studying magic as a child, I didn't have any money. And so when you're a kid and you're trying to study magic and you don't have any money, you can't buy anything. And on the rare occasions that I could buy something, I sort of had to take the cheap route. And strangely enough, bridge size cards are cheaper than poker size cards. Quack, 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 I hear a ducky. And so, I have a few decks of Fox Lake playing cards. And that was the one thing that bothered me as a child. It's like, man, nobody's ever seen this brand of cards before. And you can't get a normal deck of these cards and blah, 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 blah. And so when I got older, I had to rebuy all these decks. You know, like Svengali decks and stripper decks and stuff like that. Not that I'm a huge fan of using these things, because as I've mentioned before, I'm more of a sleight-of-hand guy and not the gimmick guy. And so, to me, using a Svengali deck or a stripper is, I don't want to say cheating, but it's the non-skill equivalent. And the funny thing is you can pull off some tricks. Okay, let me start here instead. Anything that you can do with a stripper deck, and anything you can do with a Svengali, you can do it with sleight of hand. Yeah, it's a lot harder, and it's a little bit more work for a lot of things. But still, you can do it. It's just a skill thing. Practice. However, it took me a long time to not discount a stripper deck or a Svengali deck, because there are things that you can do with these decks that will absolutely blow people's minds. Things that are impossible to do with a normal deck of cards. And so, a stripper deck, or a Svengali, or a shaved deck, all of these different decks, they have their place. But in order for them to be effectively used, you have to have another deck that looks just like it. A normal deck. that you can switch out. You got to have a normal deck and for every gaffed deck you have, just in case. And if you can switch these decks out, and that way you can say, okay, here, yeah, you can take a look at this deck of cards, make sure this is an absolutely normal deck of cards. Okay, then your mark inspects it and they say, yep, this is a normal deck of cards. They hand it back to you, and then you can ring in the cooler. I hear some little downy woodpeckers flying around by my head. Hi, you clowns. You just flew right over me. There's another expression I bet you didn't know. Ring in a cooler. What does that mean, to ring in the cooler, or a cooler? Well, the cooler is your gaffed deck. This could mean anything. A gaffed deck could be a deck in which all the cards are in a prearranged order, also known as stacking. If you've ever heard anybody use the expression stacking the deck, a stacked deck is a deck in which all the cards are in a very specific order, so that when dealt, you know, some certain result comes up. And obviously, ringing in a cooler, to ring in this case means to switch it out without anybody noticing. So there's your vocabulary lesson for today. And that expression, to ring in a cooler, goes back many, many decades. That is some old-fashioned, probably turn of the 20th century slang slash lingo for wise guys, for sharps. Wise guys means something different in America nowadays. Wise guys means, you know, gangsters. And yeah, it means that sort of, but I gotta stop using that. I gotta start saying sharps. So if you want to be a sharp, first thing you need to know is that you are a sharp, and you can use that word. Second thing you need to know is to ring in a cooler. Decks of cards. Yes, I have many. And they used to all be Fox Lake until I got a good enough job where I had disposable income. Then I started rebuying all of the decks that I like. Strippers and, you know, Zengales, shaved decks. At one point in time, I even bought a forcing deck. Now that, to me, is just pure blasphemy, because the first thing you learn when you're doing sleight of hand with cards is how to force cards. And using a forcing deck, that really is cheating and is really, really cheap and will garner you no respect whatsoever. But there are other uses for a forcing deck, and you can really blow people's minds with one as long as you use it in a manner different than intended. And that's always fun. For example, one thing that I always like to do when teaching people magic is to teach them about forcing decks and then pull this little stunt on them. And I used to do this in my old jobs. I would take business cards. Here's what you do. And this is a good magic trick. Get a stack of business cards, you know, about 50 or thereabouts. It really doesn't matter, but just enough so that somebody will think it's a deck of cards. And then when you do, and presumably these business cards are one-sided, meaning there's printing on one side and they're blank on the other, okay? So you take a stack of these cards, and then you take one of these cards and you use a magic marker, either red or black, and you turn it into the playing card of your choice. You know, I suggest a lower number just because it's easier to draw. So if you have a black magic marker, maybe you'll draw the two of spades or the two of clubs on the back of one of these business cards, or the three of hearts, okay? Just do one card. And so now you have this stack of business cards where one is a playing card and the rest of them are completely blank on the back. So then what you do is you find yourself a mark. It's not hard. You're probably living in the same house as some. You're probably living next door to some. Oh, it's not hard to find a mark. And so what you do is you tell the guy, and this, if you really want to sell this, have a red and black magic marker within visible range of whoever you're doing this with. And you say, you show him this deck of cards. You just show him the printed side and say, yeah, I found these business cards, or these are my business cards, or whatever. And I've made my own little deck of cards out of them. And you point to the red and black markers. I've drawn the faces of all the cards on the back side, so now I've got this little deck of cards. Why don't you pick one? And then you go through your favorite forcing routine, and you force your mark to choose the card that you created, the one that you drew on the back of. You tell that person to take their card, look at it, and memorize it, and hold on to it. And then you say something like, all right, now I'm going to try to guess or predict what card you drew. And then you can go through whatever prediction routine. You can write it on an envelope beforehand, or, you know, you do whatever. Whatever your favorite production routine is, execute that. So basically you then tell the person, okay, I'm using magic. I'm doing magic now. Did you pick the Three of Hearts or whatever card you created? And they'll go, oh my God, yes, I did. See, here it is. And they go, wow. And you say, that's interesting, isn't it? Would you like to know how I did this trick? And of course they'll say yes, because everybody thinks they want to know how magic tricks are done. And so then you say, well, what's the most obvious solution? I'm not going to tell you. I want you to figure it out. You're a smart person. How did I do that trick? And they may or may not come up with any solution, but you can lead them. You know, you can say, is this a normal deck of cards? And they'll say, well, no, you made it, and blah, blah, blah. It's like, right. So how do you know I didn't make, like, all the cards the same? All the cards could be the Three of Hearts or whatever. How do you know that, you know, all the cards are different? Then they'll say, oh, I don't know that. There isn't any way to know that. You didn't show me the deck of cards, the faces of all the cards. And so, haha, Occam's razor. That must be the most logical solution. All the cards in the deck are the same. And then you say, that's right, they are. And you turn your stack of business cards over and you fan them out and you show that they are all in fact the same, but they're all blank. And so, boom. You shock your mark, and they're going, oh my God, all the cards are the same, but they're not the same as my card. Somehow, I magically picked the only card in this deck. Yeah, well, no, you didn't. You had no free choice in the matter, but that's beside the point. Yeah, that's what I used to do at my old job. There wasn't anything for me to do. It was a warm body job back when I was younger. And so all I did was stand around all day thinking up magic tricks. Because, well, I could. Oh, it's speaking of magic tricks, I was going to give a lecture on equivocation at some point. I guess we're not doing that today. I'm back to my car. We might as well do something. Go somewhere. What am I going to do? Oh, you know what I should have done is I should have brought... I have lottery ticket coupons that I need to redeem. I should have grabbed them today. Oh well. Maybe we should just go back to the house. See what's going on at home. And be there in 3 seconds. 3, 2, 1, 0. Hello. Yes, here we are back in the studio. Having such a good time. I checked my mailbox and I didn't have any mail today. That's kind of weird. Don't I normally... Wait, what day is this? Is this Sunday? No, it's Monday. I got no mail. Is that a good thing? Probably. And just when I thought I wasn't going to hear any more roofing noise, the people who live behind me decided that they need to have a new roof. Which is fallacy because before they moved in, the people who owned the house re-roofed the house, and so that roof isn't even 8 years old. They're spending thousands of dollars for no reason. Just because some roofing company sold them a bill of goods. You know, there was a very minor hailstorm this spring. Very minor. But, oh my God, all the roofing companies came through this neighborhood and did the hard sell. Man, they were pounding on my door, leaving crap on my doorknob. Calling, no, you gotta get a roof. Oh, you're gonna die because the roof, there was hail and your roof, and oh, you have to. Oh. And so now there's this all summer, there's just been so much pounding in my neighborhood. Every single house has gotten their roof redone around me. It's like, you fools. And I hate the noise, I just cannot stand it. And so now, this is probably the closest house yet. Maybe not. I don't know. But yeah. And that's how I woke up this morning. Dun 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 ka-chish 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 dun 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 ka-chish ka-chish. People yelling and loud radios being blasting and oh, saws being sawing and all that fun noise that I hate. Oh well. I guess the good news is, it might be a while before I ever hear this sound again. If everybody's got new roofs, it's not going to happen next year. Or is it? You know, we're going to have one little hailstorm with little pea-sized hail. Oh, it hailed for 5 minutes and the hail was the size of a pea. You better get a new roof. Yeah, get a new roof. So hopefully this spring and all of next summer, I will not have to hear any roofing sounds. Ugh. And I'm dreading the point at which I need to get a new roof. I probably won't have to for another 10 years. Keep your fingers crossed, because I'm going to have to move out for a week.